Of course, tonight is a call to the Word, and we want to rightly divide the Word of God. And I invite you to walk with me through these scriptures. For one, they're not going to be on the screen. And so, two, you'll see the theme of where we're going. You never teach the Bible with one specific scripture. You don't make doctrine out of one specific scripture. The Bible's taught with themes, and so we have to rightly divide and see where God is heading. Now, God can speak some things to you, and then those themes can jump out at you. And so that's what we'll do tonight. Go to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And again, as you turn there, I give honor to our pastor. So thankful for my wife. So thankful for our child. Amen. Mr. Barron, he was, you know, he's walking now and he's getting into everything. He's eating the gravel from outside the church. So help us, Lord. You know, it's like on one end, I want him to experience. On the other end, I'm like, just don't eat it. Praise God. Just don't eat it. It's going to be okay. Exodus chapter 33, verses. We're going to start with verse 11. Maybe a familiar scripture to some. The Bible says the Lord would speak with Moses face to face. Somebody say face to face. I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible just for clarity. Face to face, as just as a man speaks with his friend, then Moses would return to the camp. His assistant, the young man Joshua, son of Nun, would not leave the inside of the tent. And go to verse 20. The Bible says, but he added, it's talking about God, you cannot see my face, for humans cannot see me and live. The Lord said, here is a place near me. You are to stand on the rock. That might say in your Bible, the cleft of the rock. And when my glory passes by, I will put you in the crevice of the rock and cover you with my hand until I've passed by. Then I will take my hand away and you will see my back, but my face will not be seen. I want you to remember the cleft of the rock. I want you to remember my face will not be seen. So let's go to Exodus chapter 39. Exodus chapter 39. And while you're turning there, this scripture jumped out at me while Pastor was preaching last Wednesday, talking about the Holy Ghost. And I realized something when he quoted this scripture, that there's something particular that I noticed in verse 29 of chapter 39 in Exodus. The Bible says, I will no longer hide my face from them. For I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel. So with Moses, he says, I'm going to hide my face. And then we get to a prophecy of the Holy Ghost. And it says, I will no longer hide my face. And so let's go to the book of Songs, the Songs of Solomon. And while you're turning there, I understand that maybe just generally speaking, we take that scripture from Exodus and we realize, oh, we can't see God's face. We'll get into that tonight, but there's this just general idea that God has hid his face from us. But as we just realized in that scripture, he says, I will no longer hide my face from them. So there's something to consider there. And I realize in church lingo, we say we've got to seek his face. We want to seek his face. And that is great, but man, I want to show you this scripture in the book of Songs of Solomon, the Song of Songs. We understand that this is an allegory about Jesus and his church, and he is the husband and the church is the bride. And in Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14, this is the husband speaking, and the Bible says, my dove, in the clefts of the rock. Remember that clefts of the rock? From Exodus 33, the clefts of the rock and the crevices of the cliff. This is what the bridegroom says. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. So we typically seek the Lord we seek his face, but man, had it ever dawned on you that God is trying to seek our face? And I feel the Holy Ghost just resting on us for a moment. And I want to speak to us today on face-to-face. I've got three titles for you, by the way. And if you're a note taker, I want you to write this down, because it kind of gets more specific. It's progressive. It's face-to-face, God's face to our face, God's presence to our presence. Amen? Amen. Why don't you put your Bible down? Why don't you lift your hands? Let's pray. Father, we feel your presence. We feel the weight. We feel your presence in this place. And Lord, help me to communicate what I believe you've communicated to me. We want to go deeper, Jesus. We want to know you. And more than that, you want to know us. You want to examine us. You want to come and fill us with your spirit. You want to reveal yourself. And you will only reveal yourself to those who give you access, God. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, may we give you access and speak to us tonight. Give us revelation, God, and take us deeper, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So I kind of gave you a couple things to consider in some of those opening statements. Now, something to clarify is that, yes, God is a spirit. And because God is a spirit, God doesn't have a literal face. However, when he became a man, dwelt in the man Christ Jesus, then Jesus does have a face. And there will be a throne, and we will see his face. In fact, the scriptures say that in Revelation chapter 4. Now, when we talk about what God meant in Exodus chapter 33, when he's talking with Moses face to face, that Hebrew word face is panim, which literally means presence. And that's why I gave the three titles, because it's God's face or God's presence. And this is God revealing himself to Moses, along with other things. And the Bible says he talked with Moses face to face, but it wasn't just God's face that was being identified in that scripture. It was also the face of Moses. So God's presence was confronting or standing in front of the presence of Moses. And we'll get into why that's important, but we need to just clarify some terms, because, you know, being around the presence of someone is not the same of being in the presence of someone. If a king, if a president, if a famous person were to walk into this sanctuary right now, I could see them and, you know, I could leave this sanctuary and say, you know, I was in the presence of, you know, king whoever or president whoever. And I would technically be right, because they were there. But I could not say that I had access to them, or I could not say that I was in front of them. I could only say that he was just there. He or she was just there. And that is the very critical part when it comes to our relationship with God. Being around the presence and being in the presence of God is two completely different things. Not just when it comes to when we come into the sanctuary, but also wherever we're at. Because God can truly manifest himself, and you can enter into the presence of God anywhere. But of course, there is a special place here in the sanctuary where we can enter into the presence of God. In fact, you can be in the house of God and not be in the presence of God. In fact, there can be multiple people who have entered into the presence of God, and then there's other people who are just around the presence of God. And this is where we get what the scripture would say, the mixed multitude, because while there could be people who are completely in the presence of God, they are what some would say locked in. They are just completely captured by his presence. There's just those who they wouldn't even notice that the presence of God is there. They're just outside because they haven't entered in. And so How do we enter into God's presence? And so, note takers, I'm going to give you some things. And this is important if you're taking notes, because you're going to see the continuity of this. The Bible says in Psalm 100, verses 4, to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. So number one, how we enter into God's presence. One, there's access. There's access. Now, that access is for everybody. Okay, anybody on the street, anybody, literally anybody, has access to this house of God. They can come in and they can be in the sanctuary. There's access. And I'm drawing from the parallels of the tabernacle, because the tabernacle, they had access. And so when an Israelite would approach, there was the gate to get into the court where the tabernacle was. The tabernacle was a portable temple, so to speak, that was placed, but it was surrounded by a gate, and they had to enter into the courts, and they would say, enter in with thanksgiving. And thereupon, in the courts would be the brazen altar where they would have to slain an animal, and that's symbolism for repentance, and then a brazen laver where they would wash, and then there was the tabernacle. But anybody could come. So imagine this Israelite, they are dirty from the desert sand. They're approaching this gate. The gate is made with fine linen that's pure white. They realize their impurities. They realize how dirty they are. So they've got to enter in, and they have access, and they make that sacrifice. They make that sacrifice on that altar for their sins, and then they move on to the brazen laver, and the priest cleanses himself from that blood from the brazen altar. But again, that's just very general. That's not entering into the presence of God. That's just the court. That's just access that we have. And so you go into that court. But there's still, even when you're in the court, there is the natural elements that are distracting this priest. There's the hot sun. There's the cool or the hot wind. There's the burning sand. There's all these things that hinder and can distract this priest while he's just simply in the court of access where anybody could go. Okay? So number one is access. Number two is entering in, or number two is attention. It's attention. Okay, so we have access, and then we actually enter into the tabernacle, and that's where God has our attention. Okay, so when you enter into that tabernacle, it's this tabernacle that's completely covered with five layers. So when you enter in, there is no type of natural elements that could distract this priest. And when he enters into the tabernacle, there is the golden candlestick. There is the table of showbread. There is the altar of incense. And all these things are made of pure gold. And then you look up, and then there's stitched cherubim of angels that are stitched on the top of this tabernacle. And there's nothing that the natural things could distract this priest from. They enter in, and it's all about this candlestick that is lit from the fire, from the coals of the brazen altar. It lights up that place, because without that light, it would be completely dark. And of course, that light, it causes that gold to be so much more shiny. And you look at that candlestick, and you look at the table of showbread, and it's got fresh bread that's on it that the priests have made. And it has the attention, and that's the difference when you actually enter in. Because the Bible says in Psalm 27, David said, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever, right? But he says, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire, okay? I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. There's a difference when you actually enter in, because Those things from the outside world don't distract us anymore. Now you're beholding the beauty of the Lord. You're looking at that candlestick and you're seeing that gold and you're realizing He's the light of the world. He's giving revelation. He's illuminating your life. You go to that table of showbread and it's made of pure gold and you're getting a fresh word from God. That word that He spoke is going to be a fresh word and it's speaking to you and you're partaking of it. Those outside elements don't matter anymore when you've entered into the tabernacle, when you've entered into His presence, when you've entered in and nothing else matters, when you look up and there's angels around you, when you look up and you feel the brush of angel wings, that's when you actually enter into the presence of God. Can I challenge somebody? Can I encourage somebody that there are places that we can go in the Spirit, in order, but in the Spirit, where His presence is so overwhelming that the natural things just don't matter anymore. I want to behold the beauty of the Lord. I see and I look up and I see those angels. I see how that deity, gold is the representation of deity. And I begin to behold who He is. I begin to behold those things. But you got to understand, that's entering in. But there's one more place you got to go to, and that's the most holy place with the Ark of the Covenant, where the Bible says there's a mercy seat on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and there's angels that are there that are beholding mercy because they don't understand what mercy is like we do when it comes to the blood. But before you even get there, there's an altar of incense, and there's an altar of incense, and that's a representation of intercession, yes, making intercession on behalf of somebody in the same. But it's also a symbolism of unadulterated, purified, undefiled worship. Because you cannot get to that next step. You cannot get to the mercy seat with the glory of God, the panim, the face of God, without worship. And that's adoration. That's adoration. So there's access, there's attention, and then there's adoration. There is a place in worship where you're no longer asking God to do something for you. You're no longer asking and doing these petitions and supplications. It's only about Him. It's only about worship. It's all about who He is. It's all about who He is. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, as my pastor has taught us, that there's a difference between praise and there's a difference between worship. Praise is praising Him for what He's done. But I tell you, when you enter that place of worship, it's all about who He is. You begin to think about who He is to you. You begin to think about who He is to your family. You begin to think about who He is. Access, attention, adoration. But it needs to be noted. It needs to be noted that altar of incense is worship. But you've got to understand that going back to that Song of Songs, it's God saying, I want to see your face. So we see, we get to seek His face and thank God for it. And I want to seek His face every day. Oh God, but I tell you, God is actually wanting to seek our face. God is actually wanting to enter our presence. Because you got to understand, that same way that the tabernacle, that portable temple, dwells the presence of God, the Bible says that, what? Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? And so when that's entering God's presence. But how does God enter our presence? It's backwards. It's backwards. Because if you start with adoration, He already loves us. He already loves us. And you've got to read the Song of Songs. It can get weird at times, just being real. But, you know, you just got to like, oh, wow. But I tell you, there's a witness of the Spirit when you're reading it. He already loves us because this bridegroom searching for his bride, he's already saying, oh, you're beloved. I love you. I love you. And he's describing and describing the beauty. He already is in love with this girl. It's the same thing with the Lord. He already loves us. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31 that he loves us with an everlasting love. So it doesn't matter what you've done, what you haven't done. His love has never changed. He already loves us. And his attention is already on us. You take Psalm 139, for example, where he says that you know my outgoing, you know my downsitting, you know the hairs that are numbered on my head. You know the thoughts before I even think them. You know the words before I even speak them. His attention is already on us. Same thing with this bridegroom in Song of Songs. She's not trying to get this man's attention. She already got his attention. She already got his attention. In fact, she kind of felt unworthy that she had his attention. Oftentimes of what we feel like. So if he's, again, we're working backwards now. It's adoration, attention. But I tell you, this very last thing is the hardest thing for humankind. This very last thing is the hardest thing for any of us when it comes to the presence of God and talking with him face to face. It's access. It's access. Because that's only allowed by our permission. He's got his love on us. He's got his attention on us. But the question is does he have access? Does he have access to our lives? In Songs 5, we get the allegory because the bride, she is asleep. She is already loved by this man, already has the attention, and she says that, this is very just interesting. The man says, open to me. In other words, he's at the door. Does it sound familiar? Revelation 3. The man is out at the door, and he says, I just want you to open. Now, at any time, this is the king we're talking about, the king who has armies. He doesn't need to ask permission. He can just bust down the door. The king doesn't need to ask for permission. He can bust down the door if he wants to. But no, not with love. Not in the relationship of love. So he says, I want you to open to me. I want you to open to me. And therein begins the excuses of the bride. Oh, I've already gotten into the bed. I've already put on my night clothes. Do I have to dirty my feet to open up the door? Because the last thing is the hardest thing, and that's access. That's access. And so God is looking for somebody. He's looking for his people to give access. Because true worship is defined by how much access God has in our life. That's true worship. That's true worship. Can I tell you, anybody can step in? Anybody can step in? And in this case, I was going to say, read the lyrics to the screen. But anybody can step in, lift their hands, give praise to God, give thanks to God, and never enter in. Anybody can step in and say, thank you, Jesus. God, you're good. Lord, you're great, and never give him access. Anybody can step in and say, God, you are everything. God, you're everything to me, but never give him access. And in fact, to be more specific, that's not talking with God face to face. And to bring out a euphemism from when I was coming up is, they would say, talk to the hand, because the face don't want to hear. And that's funny, right? But then I began to dwell on it. I was like, ooh, aren't we talking to his hand a lot more than we realize? Aren't we asking of him a lot more than we realize? And faithfulness of God says, I love you, so talk to my hand. But I tell you, when you get to a place, when you enter in, when you truly enter in, you behold the beauty of the Lord. You begin to see things in the spirit. Where those things, those stories that people talked about are becoming a reality. And I'm not just talking about in church. I'm talking about anywhere. Where he has access. And you say, God, it's just me and you. It's just me and you. That's true communion right there. It's true communion where you enter in, you behold the beauty, and then you say, God, I give you access. And that's when it's face to face. That's when it's presence to presence. That's when God says, now I can enter into your presence, and now we can commune. And I tell you, what happened with Moses, the same thing can happen to us. What happened with Moses? Moses received the word. He received the law. God can speak a lot more clearly when we let him in. God can speak a lot more clearly when we let him in. And he received a lot more things I'm sure can be saved for another Bible study. But I'm just trying to challenge some of us tonight, challenging myself even every single day. Yes, I want to seek his face, and we should seek his face. We ought to be in the presence of God every day. We ought to wake up and seek after him. We ought to wake up and say, Lord, I want to behold your beauty. But just with that same hunger, in fact, with more desire, the Lord is saying, I know you want to see me, but I want to see your face. I want to see you when you open up. I want you to give me access. And when you give me access, that's when true relationship begins. That's when I can talk with you. That's when I can give you that answer you've been looking for. That's when I can show you those things in the spirit. But until that happens, you'll be in outer court life. Can I tell you, there are people who are content with outer court life, living in the outer courts, doing the religious service, but distracted by the natural things. You could say that you went to the court. You could say that you went to the tabernacle. You could say that you actually went to the place. But the question is, did you enter in? Did you behold his beauty? Did you let him in? Did you see him face to face? Did you get a revelation? Did he reveal something to you? I tell you, I don't want to just show up. I don't want to just show up and say that I did it. I don't want to just show up and say I did church. I don't want to show up and say I went to the brazen altar. I don't want to show up and say I went to the brazen laver. I don't even want to show up and say that I entered in. I want to show up and say I touched him. I want to show up and say I seen him face to face. I seen him. He gave me a revelation. He began to speak to me. He began to reveal himself to me. He began to heal my spirit. He began to forgive me. Somebody lift your hands for a moment right now. Come on, I feel like the Lord is just calling us back. Calling us back to communion. Calling us back to the deep places. Calling us back to 101 time. Calling us back to prayer lives. Calling us back to fasting. Calling us back to holiness. Calling us back to conviction. Calling us back to deeper relationship with him. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us, Lord. Take us deeper, Lord. Take us higher, Lord. Hallelujah. Ah, thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. I'm closing tonight. Let me just mention something really quick. Hope I didn't come off harsh or anything like that. Because I tell you, I want to make it to the place where I don't want to leave. I understand we've got stuff we got to handle. And I even debated sharing this, but I tell you, it's just beautiful. Because this is what's available. Because it's more than just this sanctuary. He wants to meet with us in our house. He wants to meet with us in our car. Let me just share something with you. And again, I don't share this for out of boast. I try to be like Paul. I knew a man. I knew another man. I'm just saying what's available. And I would like to say that this, my wife and I, we had a prayer meeting at our, just in our living room. And again, I say that so casually. We just had a prayer meeting. But man, that prayer meeting, I felt the presence of God in my living room. We just began to worship. And the angels, I just felt angels step into that living room. And they were worshiping with us. Mm. And I tell you, I didn't say a thing to my wife. We just prayed until, and then we felt that lift. We just went about our day. In fact, it might have been a week later, I think, where I said, you remember that prayer meeting we had that one day? I was like, I just felt like angels were just right there with us. And the Lord spoke something to me in that prayer meeting. He said, warrior angels is not what you need right now. We get into that a lot about spiritual warfare. He said, warrior angels is not what you need right now. Who you need with you is the cherubim, the worshiping angels, the ones who cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I felt like that. I truly felt like I was in Isaiah 6. And that cherub, those cherubs that were crying holy, they covered their face, they covered their hands, they covered their feet. They took that coal. I mean, I just felt the weight come upon me. And I told that to my wife like a week later or something like that. She's like, you know what? That's interesting, because I began to pray, Lord, give us the angels to worship with us. She said she began to pray for angels in our city in different cities. I tell you, and again, I'm not saying this because we're greater. I'm letting you know this is available to us. It's available that there are encounters in the Spirit, encounters in His presence that we can enter into if we would just be willing. And I'm not trying to manufacture anything. In fact, I would much rather have you do this at your house. I would much rather have you exercise and do this in private. So that way, when we show up on Sunday, we're not trying to pump everybody up. We can just enter right in. We can just enter straight into the presence. Let's stand tonight. Let's lift our hands. And I don't know, whatever you want to do, you can come to this altar. You can find a place. But hey, one great thing we can do right now is just enter in right now. Let's just enter into His presence. We love you back, Jesus. Where the natural is no longer there. The natural doesn't matter anymore. Those things outside don't matter anymore, but it's all about Him. It's all about presence. It's all about who He is. It's all about His deity. It's all about His characteristics. It's all about what He wants to do in our lives. It's all about access. It's all about access. Hallelujah. Come on, He just wants access to you. Come on, He just wants access to your heart. He just wants access to your spirit. He just wants access to your life. He wants access to your convictions. Come on, lift your hands, lift your voice. Face to face. Face to face, we want to see you, Jesus. Come on, right where you are, why don't you lift your voice? Why don't you confess? Come on, a good place to start is repentance. Just say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for where I was, where I've been. Forgive me, Lord. Come on, enter into that place of repentance. And then after that, you enter in and say, God, I just want you, Jesus. I want to behold your beauty, oh God. I want to behold your beauty, oh God. Oh, I give you access, Lord. I give you access, Jesus.